Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
God bless you, church. How are we doing? How are we doing, church? For most of you guys don't know, I'm the Spanish pastor. And Pastor gave me the privilege to bring the word to this. Thank you, Pastor. A little side note, I do move a lot, so get used to it. Because I'm not going to change. I've tried changing, and it's not going to happen. But I will ask you if we can all stand as we read the word of God. The book of John, chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. God is good, amen? And all the time? And if I jump to Spanish, I'm sorry. I preach in Spanish, so it's just going to flow how it flows. You guys have it? John chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. And a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus, sickness will not end in death." No, it happened for the glory of God, so the Son of God can receive the glory. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your faithfulness, for your presence. Ask, Father God, that this word may penetrate, Father God, and activate the spirit, Father God, of worship inside of us, Father God. Activate the faith that we need to be Christians and followers of who you are and who you commanded us to be. Father God, that we may walk with assurance of that you are the great one and you will always come out, Father God, and fight our battles. I ask that this word may be blessed, Father God, to every person that is seated here and is listening online, Father God, that there be a breakthrough, Father, and that we may trust and rely on you, Father God, and solely on you. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. We may be seated. I was talking to Pastor Ryan yesterday, and I was going back and forth with God. I just finished preaching this sermon a couple weeks ago at my friend's church, and I didn't want to preach it. And most of us that prepare sermons and preachings, I tend to rely on God to give me the okay to have the conviction to preach the sermon that I have prepared. And I wanted to prepare a sermon. I'm still going to prepare it. I'm still going to get ready for it. It's the development of Peter's life. And when Peter, before Peter denied Jesus, Jesus told him, "Peter, you're going to deny me." And Peter, of course, said, "No, I will never do it." And I believe the reason why he did it, even though Jesus proclaimed it, is because Peter went to an unfamiliar spot he shouldn't have gone to. He was in a bonfire with people he shouldn't have been at. And in that moment of Peter's life, he shouldn't have been in that surrounding. So he found comfort in a place he should have not found comfort. And I really wanted to preach that, and I didn't feel the conviction to do it. And I said, "Okay, God, so what do you want me to preach?" I said, "Because I do not want to preach the same sermon again." And, well, he told me, "Just preach the word that I have given you. Trust the process." Tell your neighbor, "Trust the process." You know, trusting the process is good when it comes to our fellow brother. We tell him, "Hey, God can do it. God is all powerful. If you just seek him, he will do it." You know how many times we have found ourselves in that situation when our brother in Christ is going through a situation that he finds himself in, and he doesn't find God's refuge at the moment. And we say, "Man, just keep seeking God. He's going to come through just fast. Have you fasted? Have you prayed to God? Have you been praying? Have you read the word of God? How many times, if we're going to be honest, have we said that to our fellow Christians? You know, but when it becomes personal, the situation changes. You know, so we become in this participant faith where God wants us to go to a personal faith. And we come to this story where Martha and Mary sent a message out to Jesus and didn't just say, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. No. They added a little bit more to that. They added some masalsa in that little conversation. They said, Jesus, the one you love, is sick. How many times have we come to Jesus? Jesus, you said that you love me, so why am I going through what I'm going through? Jesus, if you said this, then why are we going through this situation that I confront myself in? And the reality is that there's reality versus truth. And the reality is, even though I'm sick, through his stripes, I am healed. Even though I face many circumstances in my life, the truth is that he is the one who fights my battles. The reality is, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were being persecuted, but the truth is that there was somebody else inside of there. The reality is that David was going to the dens, but the truth is that God was with him. I'm going to tell you today, the truth and reality are two different things. Reality is what we're going through. The truth is what the word tells us. Reality is God puts us in situations for revelation. I'm going to say that again. God puts us in situation for revelation. Sometimes we shy away from the situation. So when we shy away from the situation, he can no longer reveal himself as Jehovah Jireh. Because what we do, we use God as a crutch. And we say, God, if you can't do it, it's okay, the doctor's here. God, if you're not the provider, guess what? Biden, boo, is going to provide me the resources to provide for my food. God, it's okay. I know you say you have my back, but just in case you don't, I got this. I know you say you're my everything, but I say you're my everything, but if you just don't come, even though you have given me the word, because your word contradicts the promise. My reality contradicts the promise that you have set before me. So when you don't come through, God, it's okay. I got this for you. You know, most cases, most of us, we fall in this moment where we are conflicted with the reality and the truth. The truth is God has promised. The reality is I don't see it yet. The truth is God said, I am your provider. And the reality is, when? The truth is, he says, I'm your healer. And the reality says, you have cancer. See, there's a conflict between reality and truth. There's a conflict between reality and truth. God creates many situations throughout the Bible where he confronted his people, Israelites. We would have never known God through the lens of Israel as they were walking in the desert if it wasn't for the situations they were placed in. God created a situation where all they had to do was shout and praise his name, and he opened the Red Seas. God created a situation where they were starving and manna fell from heaven. They created a situation where they were thirsty and water flowed. God created a situation for revelation. And many of us have been going through this situation and not accepting the challenge God has set before us. And then we ask God, I want to get to know you more. But we cowered away from the situation for his revelation. And I wanted to tell you, embrace the hurt. Embrace the pain. Embrace the hunger. I'm not saying brag about it, because there's nothing to brag about it. Embrace it, because it's in those moments God wants to reveal himself as Jehovah. Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah the provider, Jehovah whatever you are going through. He is the great I am. Meaning, as you walk, see, I told you I was going to walk. So I'm going to walk. As you walk, God walks with you. There was no reason or no way Israel would have found out who is this great I am. Great I am what? Just walk and you will figure it out. Walk and I am your provider. Walk and I am the way. Walk and I will split the seas. Look, I know there's going to be a situation where we're confronted with reality and we question God's goodness. If we're going to be honest, most of us are facing that right now. God, are you in this situation that I'm confronted with? God, you have said that I have a ministry, but yet again, I don't see it. I don't see my calling. God, I don't see you in this moment. I don't see you in this torment. God, I don't see you in my marriage. You know, God puts us through a desert so we can find out that he is the great I am, not because he wants to see us dead. No, because he wants to flourish in the desert. Nothing flourishes in the desert, but only he does. So he tells us, guess what? I'm going to put you through a situation where you have no other choice but to proclaim my goodness. You have no other choice but to seek me. You have no other choice but to kneel on your knees and seek my face. I'm going to remove every little thing away from you so the only thing you have is my presence. And you might be finding yourself in that situation. God, where's my marriage at? God, I don't see my marriage flourishing the way you have promised in your Bible. I come to church every Sunday, but then again, I go out to church without the marriage being healed or being saved. And the one suffering is my kids. See, we go through reality and the truth, and reality always crash. And Martha and Mary found themselves in this situation. A couple days before, Jesus is at their house. And Martha's attending the house. And Mary's attending Jesus. And then we come to this passage where Jesus says, Jesus is already saying this is not for the death, but this is to glorify God. You know how many times I've asked God, like, God, I want you to be glorified in my life. And I'm always transparent. People in Spanish know that. I said, God, I want to see the thing walk. It's not a fairy tale. He's not a fairy tale, right? He literally made the heavens and the earth with his word, with his mouth. Literally. He literally split the Red Sea. Literally happened. So I believe what the word says. And I walk with it. And I start saying, God, we want to see this church. The pastors want to see the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. You know what he did? He stripped everything I had away. And I told him, not like this. For those of you that do not know, I lost my house last year. I had to make a financial decision to return a car that I did not want to return. And I got stuck with that dumb German car outside. The reality is I asked for the supernatural by trying to manipulate the supernatural in God's hands. I wanted him to use me in the supernatural, but yet control the natural. And I didn't know that it took all of that so God can reveal who he truly is in my life. I'm not saying that God wanted me homeless, because I'm not homeless. But what I'm saying is he stripped everything away so he can reveal his deity to me. And not be a person who participates in the faith of others, but be a personal faith that I'm walking through. Martha and Mary, I can just hear the conversations. How many times do you think they had a conversation about Jesus' goodness? Like, Martha, did you hear what Jesus did? Yeah. He opened the eyes. The guy can see. Martha, did you hear about the lame? Yeah, he started walking. Isn't it crazy? I'm sure they had conversations of Jesus' goodness and the miracles that were seen. Jesus was a good friend of theirs. Of course, if the whole town heard Jesus' miracles, of course they were going to brag about it as friends. As friends, they were going to brag about it. But now when it became personal, it was a different situation now. God, I know that you can heal the lame. I know you can heal the blind. But can you really heal Lazarus? God, can you really heal him? You know, there's a conversation that took place, and Martha tells Jesus, I know that Lazarus would rise in the day of resurrection. And Jesus says, haven't I told you? If you only believe, you will see the glory of God. For most of us, we have a theological sense or information of God. And this is what Martha was having with Jesus, a theological response. She was saying, God, I know who you are because we know. The day of resurrection, which is the theology of Christianity, the day of resurrection, he shall rise. Because most of us have a concept of who Jesus is, and we understand the ins and outs of Christianity, the doctrine side of Christianity. So she's saying, I understand how this works. I know in that day when the day of resurrection, I know Lazarus will rise, but I just do not understand how you will rise him right now and he's dead. See, most of us only believe in the natural God, but not the supernatural of God. So that's the reason we go home sick. Because we believe he's powerful. Because we have the theory, we have the theology that he's powerful. But we don't have the supernatural belief that he's powerful. That's the reason we go back with a broken home. That's the reason we go back with our kids being lost in the world. Because we have forgotten the promises that he has given us. And we have limited God because we have not accepted the situation that actually creates a warrior inside of us to actually believe in the supernatural. So she's saying, I believe in the theology of who you are. I believe you are the Son of God. But I do not believe that you can actually resurrect Lazarus. But I'm sure she's had table talk about how Jesus did all these miracles. See, because when it becomes personal, it's a different situation now. Yeah, we don't sound like the religious person anymore. Oh, Cristo te ama, siga adelante, con fuego. You know, when it becomes personal, now you question if God is really existing, or is he actually listening, or does he actually love you? When it becomes personal, we question his hand, his goodness. Why, God? Why do you let the evil people prosper in us? Why do we just eat salad and they're eating cow? God, if you're really good, why? Why did you allow this? But let me tell you the story of Job right quick. So Job faced so many circumstances and he questioned God's goodness. And then in chapter 42, he says, I have heard, but now I see. I have heard, but now I see. See, so he create this. God used the situation to come into Job's life in a different way. You might be questioning, God, what do I do? You know, the only thing I can tell you is you raise your hand and you start worshiping God. It's, for some, it's unknown and it's crazy talk. When we were going through our losing our property, I had the only way I can respond was by raising my hand and thanking God. I know it sounds dumb, right? I know it sounds dumb. The reality is, it sounds dumb, but the truth is that my spirit knows that there's something greater coming my way. And I know it sounds dumb for us to live in the reality when we're Christian and we're supposed to believe in the truth of God. And I know it just contradicts itself. When God says something and then we see a different situation, and I know it's so contradicting when God is saying, just move forward, you are healed, and the doctor's telling us, no, you have cancer. I don't know what you're talking about. I know it sounds crazy to believe that God is actually Jehovah Rapha in the middle of my sickness and still believe that he's still able to do it. I know it sounds crazy to say Jehovah Jireh will come into my situation. I know it can sound crazy in the place that you're probably sitting today, that you're asking God, God, where is your hand? And God is saying, just keep moving forward. Because God is trying to reveal himself in a different way. See, most of us here are new baby Christians. And sometimes we just don't know how to face the reality with the truth. We just don't understand. God, I understand the theology of who you are. I understand it. I just don't understand the supernatural of who you are. And I want my family to be healed, and I want my family to be saved. But the reality is that they're so far apart that I can't even see it. But I know what your word said. Your word said my whole house will be saved. So what do I do? Do I actually kneel on my knees and proclaim salvation when it just doesn't look like they're being saved? Oh, you know what my wife did when I was going out doing coke, doing a whole bunch of stuff? She would anoint my feet with oil. And I will tell her, man, it sounds so crazy. I will tell her, your God is not powerful. I will tell her that. I will tell her, your God cannot transform me. While I was doing coke in the cleaning home drunk, she would anoint my feet with oil because she believed in the truth. But the reality, the reality of the situation is that I was still doing coke and I was still drinking. That's when I decided to get a whole bunch of that tattoos. I'm not going to say tattoos are a sin, so don't take it there. Just saying, I decided to get tattoos in that moment. The reality is, I was living a life far away from God. The truth is that she believed what God said. The reality is that we were ready to get divorced. The truth is that God showed up and said, didn't I tell you? You are still a pastor. Reality, my reality, was contradicting to the truth. And I just didn't know what to do. But this warrior knew what to do. What I'm saying is, we are placed in situations where we can't move in the reality of the faith, because there is no faith in reality that we're living in. We live in the supernatural, the Spirit of God. So he's telling her, what you're telling me is a theological answer. I'm giving you the supernatural answer. If I tell you, cabezona, that this is for the glory of God, then stop being hard-headed. It's for the glory of God. It's not for you. And it's not. This story is not even about Lazarus. This story is about the Son of God. And I'm just using him to be glorified. So in other words, if you're going through a situation for revelation, don't take it personal. You're just part of the story of who he is. And isn't it beautiful? At the end of the day, we're going to be like, man, he used me to talk to other people. You know, and he tells him, look, cabezona, testaruda. Terca. I've told you already. Before he even passed away in your eyes, I said, this is not for the what? For death. I was already speaking when you were going to see. I told you, this is for the glory of God. And sometimes, you know what we do? You know what's the hardest thing to do? Is to visit the grave where we have buried the promise of God. The hardest thing to do is to go back to that grave when we have buried what God has promised us. The longest walk for Martha was when Jesus says, "Show me where you buried him." Martha's like, I just buried my brother. You want me to revisit the grave again? You want me to revisit where I have buried what you have promised? Because most of us have buried the promises of God. We still believe that he's good. We still believe that he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We still believe he's the Alpha and Omega. But if we're going to be honest and truthful, we have buried the promises of God because of the hurt, because of the letdown, because of the things that have been going in our lives. And you know what he says? Come here, Claudia, I'm sorry. He says, "Claudia, walk with me." And this moment, it's going to be probably the longest walk, Martha, you will ever take. But just show me where you have buried them. Because I promised a ministry. And maybe, just maybe, Claudia, you have buried that ministry. Maybe just married. And maybe you just put it in a grave where it doesn't belong. But I have told you that through your voice, many chains will be broken. And maybe, just maybe, you have buried it in a place that it should have never been buried. So now I want you to revisit the place you have buried that promise I have given you. You know, most of us are going to be confronted with walking back to the burial where we have set the promise that God has given us. And it's going to be the longest walk, because you know what happens is when we become transparent with Jesus. Jesus, you said you were going to do this, and you didn't. Everything fell apart. God, you said you were going to do that, and it never happened. God, you said you said this, and you said that, and yet again, you're telling me to go walk back to that place where I buried that promise? But aren't you sympathetic to my pain? You know how many times we have said that to God? Or maybe not even said it, but we have thought it. God, are you sympathetic to what I'm going through? These people who go out and go clubbing, yes, they are more blessed than I. And I give everything to you. Why aren't you blessing me the way you bless them? You know how many times we actually thought it or actually said it to God? And God is saying, it's not over. And God is telling you, it is not over. How many times have we buried the promises of God because he didn't come in our time? God, you said my marriage was going to be restored. God, maybe my kids know, I don't know. They probably do. But I have my own apartment. I have my own apartment. And we were already talking about divorce. Until one day, una hermana, Pentecostés, started speaking in tongues. And I kid you not, my prayer was, God, I'm sorry I have failed. I'm sorry I have sinned. I'm sorry, I know I lost the ministry you have given me, but take care of my wife. Lady started speaking in tongues, and I already knew God was going to talk to me. I knew it, because I felt it in my spirit. And she said, you over there, she called me out. I was over there, sitting down over there. She said, you come here. And she gave me a word, and she confirmed my prayer. And she said, you just asked if you have the ministry, and the ministry is still yours. And I buried it. And when I buried it, I kept on sinning. And most of us find ourselves in that situation. We come to church because it's just the daily routine of coming to church. And we have buried the promises of God. We have buried the promises that he has given us. We have buried the promise of your daughter being restored. We have buried the promise of your son being restored. We have buried the promise of saying your marriage is restored. We have buried the promise of saying your marriage is restored. We have buried the promise. And if we close the tomb and we say, God, it's okay. I'm okay with it now. And God is still trying to work in your faith and trying to make you to understand, if you only just believe, you shall see the glory of God. While you have closed the tomb because now it's out of your hands. See, God waits to the exact moment where we can control, manipulate the situation. And then we become desperate. Where God, this is the only one that can actually move is you at this moment. God, the only one who can actually answer at this moment, it is you. It is the only one that you can actually just break the chains of those who have been captive so many years. You are the only one who can heal. You are the only one that can move in the supernatural. So when it's out of our control, the only thing we have now is to control, to leave the control to God and let Him reign. Let Him move. Let Him move in the situation. See, if we believe in the supernatural, then we must believe that He is in control. And well, you know what that character? That means that we can no longer move in our intellect when He's moving. We can no longer manipulate the services. You know how hard that is, Pastor, right? You know how hard it is as pastors when we come up here and we know what the Spirit wants to do and our mind is conflicted. Do we do it or no? Do we keep singing or no? Do we change the song? I know they hate it when I change the songs, but I change the songs. You know, and do we do it or no? Do we do it or no? And sometimes as pastors, we have to listen to every time we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because there's nothing I can actually do for you guys. Nothing in the world I can do. But there's one. There's one who can come into your heart, heal that broken heart. That broken heart who has been going through so much. That heart, it just doesn't know what to do. That broken heart that has felt let down by family member, by parents, by pastors. We have gone through so much and we have buried that pain and we have closed the tomb and we have said, God, it's okay. I'm at peace with it. God, don't worry about it. It's okay. You don't have to answer. I'm okay with it. I'm at peace with the answer. And we have forgotten that God still says yes and amen. And if He said, this is not for death. Can I get the worship team up here? If He says this is not for death, then this is not for the death. This is for the glory of God. See, so when you see the situation, you've confronted it and you see nothing but sickness and you have to declare in your spirit and out loud that through His stripes, I am healed. And when you see that you feel like you don't belong anywhere, you say, but I am seated in heavenly places. And when there's troubles, when there's trouble and tribulation, you say, I've been persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. See, when there's situations in our life, I know it's a conflict between what do I actually see and what my spirit tells me. And my spirit tells me that He is great and He is good. The truth is that He is good and I am not. The truth is that He is using this situation to reveal Himself as the only one I need to rely on. The reality is, I see sickness and I see death. The truth is that this is for His glory. Martha, haven't I told you? If you just believe, you shall see the glory of God. Reality is, God, I'm still going through what I'm going through. God, I'm still crying at night because I still don't see what You promised. Reality is, my husband has let me down. My wife has let me down. The situation in my job has let me down. That's the reality. I know what the truth says, God. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to do something to You. I'm just going to worship You. I'm going to worship You in the middle of the storm. I'm going to worship You in the middle of everything, in the chaos. I'm gonna do something that I have never done. And I'm actually going to believe. I'm going to believe who you say you are. You say you're Jehovah Jireh. I'm going to hold you to that. I didn't call you that. You called yourself Jehovah, the great I am. You called yourself the all-powerful. I didn't call you that. You called yourself. So I'm going to hold you to your word. So if you said it, I'm going to believe it. See, if you said, don't worry about it, they're going to put you in the den. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to, because I trust you. So if they put me in the lion's den, then guess what? I know I'm just going to chill. I'm going to relax. I'll probably feed him or braid his hair. I don't know. We're probably going to go over the Lion King with him. I'm going to tell him what happened. But God, if you put me in the lion's den, I know you have my back. God, and if I go in the furnace, I know I won't even come out with smoke, God, because I know who you are. You are the great I am in this situation. And no matter what I'm going through, I still know that I'm going to face trouble. I'm going to face tribulation. But I know who you are. And I am your son, and because I'm your son, you are obligated to watch over me. Once again, church, God uses situation for revelation. And it's not for you to run away from the situation. It's for you to tell yourself who God is in this situation. If it wasn't for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to say, look, even if he doesn't, he's still God. Even if he doesn't come through, I will not worship a false idol. Even if he doesn't come through, I will never kneel to a false idol. If it wasn't for Daniel saying, put me there, I'll chill for the lion. It's all right. Can you imagine the faith they had? And God was like, just embrace the situation. Because you know what the situation is going to do? It's going to create an army of believers. You know what happened with Lazarus? This is what happened. So let's say Lazarus come out, and he's Lazarus. He's dead. This is what the situation created. It created a community to come together. Because Jesus did the supernatural, and the people did the practical. The practical job, what was practical for the people to do was to remove the stone. It's not God's job or Jesus' job to remove the stone, something you can do. You move in the practical, Jesus moves in the supernatural. So he tells the people, you believe? Yes, you believe? Okay, remove the stone. So I'm sure they were saying, God, if I remove the stone, it's going to smell. I'm not telling you that, you cabezón. I'm telling you, remove the stone. I'm not going to remove it. I'm going to take care of the stuff that you can't take care of. So I'm asking you, remove the stone because you can do it. So remove the stone. They remove the stone. Jesus did what Jesus does and does the supernatural. And he said, Lazarus, come out. He comes out. And this is what Lazarus is facing with dead clothes. And you know what he tells the community? Andrea, can I get you? Melissa, can I get you? Maritza, can I get you? He tells the community, unclothe him. Community, unclothe. Take the dead clothes away from him. He doesn't do it. You know why it's important for the community to embrace it? It's not God's job to make sure the community, the church, that's the church's job. When there's an unbeliever who is saved, our job as Christians is to embrace him and take the death cloth and say, Jesus loves you, man. It wasn't Jesus' job to remove the stone. It wasn't Jesus' job to remove the stone. It was the hands that can actually do it. The practical is for the man to do it. The supernatural is for God to do it. And sometimes we want God to do the whole thing. We want God to do the whole thing. And you know how faith moves? You want me to move the stone? No way. They're gonna tell me I'm done for removing the stone. So that's a conflict. Because while your spirit is telling you remove the stone, your flesh is telling you, what are you doing? You're dumb. It's gonna smell. And then God is telling you, Cabezon, remove the stone. You want to see miracles? Remove the stone. You want to see supernatural? Remove the stone. I can't do it for you. I'm not going to do it for you. That's something you need to do, because that requires a supernatural faith. That doesn't require a participant's faith. That requires a personal faith. So God is trying to take us from a participant faith to a personal faith. And that personal faith requires us to actually move. So God, Jesus is saying, mira, move the stone. If you trust me, if you believe who I am, remove it. Once I remove it, you're going to see me at work. Yeah, okay, yeah. You believe that these altars are going to be healed by sick people? Then get on your knees. I can't get on your knees for you. I do the supernatural. You do the natural. You want to see blind see? Go preach the gospel so they can come. I can't do it for you. I already died on the cross. Bring them here. Bring them here. You want to see the lame walk? Well, carry them over here. You want to see the supernatural? Bring them over here. You don't have to do it. You're not a magician. You're not going to do it. I'm going to do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. The only thing we need to do is bring the sick people. The only thing we need to do is do the practical, and we will see God be glorified in this house. I'm going to ask that we stand to our feet. Second Corinthians 4, verse 17, it says, for this light and momentary trouble is achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. You know, that trouble that you're going, it's just, I always say, this too shall pass. Yeah, this too shall pass. It's not going to stay here forever. This pain that I'm going, it's not. You know, I say it in the Spanish congregation. God is just writing my book. And at this moment, I'm in a chapter I just don't like. I'm in a chapter that I just don't like. And God is still writing the chapter. And God hasn't finished with my book. So if I believe that He is Jehovah Jireh, if I believe He's omnipresent, and He already spoke my tomorrow and I live in my present, He already said, Daniel, it's okay. I see you tomorrow and you're going to be okay. Just keep pressing, keep moving forward, and it's okay. Don't look back, because I have seen your tomorrow, and I know what you carry, and I know the anointing you carry. You're not just this average guy. No, you carry an anointing because you have been put through the fire, and because you have been through the fire, you haven't cursed me, you haven't left me, you haven't abandoned me. You have said, and everything, my soul longs for you, and everything, I will glorify your name. If I have it or not, if it comes or not, I will still glorify your name. So He says, I have seen you tomorrow. All I require is that you just worship me through your trouble. I have seen the way you're going to carry yourself tomorrow, Daniel. So yes, it hurts. I understand it. But this pain that you're carrying is for my glory. And because it's for my glory will fall upon you. And sometimes as a church, we forget that. Don't throw no more pity parties. You're not a victim. We're victors in Jesus. We're not poor me. No, we're like, yes, me, God. Use me as a vessel. I want to be used by you. I want people to be transformed because of their testimony. God, I'm not going to throw no more pity parties, God. I'm going to embrace the pain. I'm going to embrace the hurt. I'm going to embrace the situation, because I know there's a revelation, not just for me, but for my family. And because of my families, they're going to be saved. And my family is going to be saved. And my kids are going to save, because I have used the situation for a revelation. And I know we are going through so much. I know it. God didn't just tell me to prepare this sermon just because. I know there's many of us who are facing those moments right now. I'm going to ask you, if you actually believe that God is good, you believe that his promises are yes and amen, I want you to come to the altar. Come to the altar. If you believe that his promises are yes and amen, but you're going through a lot, and maybe your faith is, just weakening day by day, come to the altar.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.